أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي نور قلوب العارفين بنور معرفته وأثبت فؤاد أنبيائه وأوليائه بقصص الأنبياء والمرسلين. وأكمل إيمان المسلمين والمؤمنين بولاية علي أمير المؤمنين عليه السلام. والصلاة والسلام والتحية والكرام على أفضل الموجودات العبد المؤيد والرسول المسدد المصطفى الأمجد المحمود الأحمد أعني أبا القاسم محمد. وعلى روحه ونفسه وصهره ووسيه سيد الأتقياء والأصفياء مولى الموالي إمام المتقين علي بن أبي طالب. وعلى أوفيائه لسيما بقية الله في الأرضين روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفدا. واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من الآن إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم: إن الحسين مصباح الهدى وسفينة النجاة. صلاة محمد وآل محمد. Many of the things that Imam Hussain alayhi salam, through his actions, through his approvals, taught us are found in his sermons and in his biography. Amongst these things is a great noble attribute that every believer should try and possess, is Sila Rahim, or meeting, being close to your blood relatives. That is one of the obligations in Islam, and there are many traditions on it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, many of these obligations that He's given us, He made these things wajib on us. And the good thing is that after making these things wajib, He said, I will reward you for it as well. Even if He did not reward us, we would have still have to do them because Allah made them wajib. The prayer, when He made it wajib, even if He did not give us any sawab for it, any reward for it, we would have still had to do it. The fasting, the forms, the zakat, the hajj, the jihad, all of these things. Even if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not reward us for these things, they would have been still wajib and we would have had to do them. But look at the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When He made these things wajib, He said, fine, these are obligatory upon you, but when you perform them, I will reward you for them as well. You perform them and you will be rewarded from me. You do the salat and I'll reward you for it. You do the fasting, I'll reward you for it. All of these obligations. Some of these are more rewarding than the others. When a person asked Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salatu wa salam, that Mawla, when he was riding a horse, he had put one of his feet in the sayyid and the other foot he had to put. He said, before you put your other foot in the sayyid, you must answer me, you must tell me what Islam is all about. He said Islam can be summarized in simply two words. Al-Islam huwa huququllah wa huququl ibad. This is Ali ibn Abi Talib. So quickly he answered everything. He said, Islam consists of two obligations, two rights. You have rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon you and you have rights of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You serve the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you serve His creation. These are the two obligations, these are the two responsibilities that the whole Islam can be summarized in. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that I will forgive a person who sins before me, who disobeys me, as I wish, whenever I wish, and to whomever I wish. But it doesn't mean do not perform these obligations. There will be a lot of answering to do if you are leaving these obligations. But something that I will not forgive until the creation itself forgives that sin are the sins to do with my creation. Disobedience to parents, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, until the parents forgive, I will not forgive. You backbite at a mu'min, a believer, Allah says, until that mu'min forgives you, I will not forgive. If you were very good, chances are you wouldn't be backbiting. But if you were very good, and you still did ghibat, you backbited a person, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment, many a times this will happen, as the traditions indicate, will ask that believer who you backbited that I will forgive you so and so sin, if you were sinful. Or I will give you so and so place in heaven, if you was a good person. Just forgive this sin of my believer, of my servant. But this happens to good believers, people those who are good doers, muttaqeen. Normally we have to try and practice so much that we have to try and please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And His pleasure is sought through the pleasure of His creation. Never think that you can hurt a believer or even a non-Muslim for that matter sometimes. And you can please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Quick example, inshallah, I want to mention a few things about what I have selected. Many times we think who we are and we think that we are better than others. We try and say something to another person and we hurt them. An example would be of Hazrat Musa. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Musa, bring something which is worse than you the next time you come to Tur. You may have heard this example, just for the youth. So that the Musa left. The next time he wanted to come, he said, shall I take a follower of my ummah, of my religion with me? Because he's a follower and I am a Nabi. Then he said, he is a servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He believes in the message that I convey. How could I feel that I'm better than him? Then he said to himself, should I take a kafir with me, a disbeliever? Then he said to himself, but hang on a minute. Doesn't he share humanity with me? We are both humans equally. I can't feel that I'm better than him. Then he thought of an animal. Should I take that animal with him? Because I'm a human and that is an animal. But then he said, hang on. Isn't that a creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Isn't that a makhluk? We share something in common. We're both khalq. Then he wanted to take something else with him. But then he decided not to take anything with himself. When he went to Tur, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Musa, I told you that the next time you come, you bring something with you which is worse than you, or you are better than it. He said, oh Allah, I have brought my nafs with myself. My nafs is worse than me. My own nafs, myself, is worse than me. My inner self. The tradition says that a believer should not feel that he is better than another person. Amir al-Mu'minin says that no matter how many sins you have, do not ever feel hopeless of Allah's mercy, because that one sin, hopelessness, can take away all of your mercy that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decided for you. And no matter how many good actions you have, never feel that you are better than another person, because that pride would take away all the good actions from you. Just that single thought, pride. And we should not feel that we are better than other people. Especially with our relatives, we should try and put ourselves down. Unless they are disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to do nahi anil munkar, then we have to try and show some displeasure towards them, that we are not happy with what they are doing. But do not hurt them, do not hit them, there are limits to it. There are so many traditions, Sila Rahim is called, there is a hadith by the Holy Prophet if I am not mistaken, وَسَلُوا الْأَرْحَامِ وَلَوْ بِالسَّلَامِ. You should try and be close to your relatives, even with just a single salam to them. Just salamun alaikum. That gives you sawab. Sila rahmi causes you to have a longer life. And if you do not have sila rahmi, then you say the same age? No, the hadith says, if you do sila rahmi, if you are the person who goes amongst his relatives and pleases them, brings them closer to himself, then he has a long life. And if he stops doing it, then he doesn't have the same life. His life reduces. That's the tradition. But the raham causes you to have a shorter life. So many traditions on it. So many traditions. Just one that I was discussing with one of the brothers last night. Hadith by Imam Musa Kazim alayhi salatu wasalam. When one of his companions came from Yemen to do Hajj in Mecca, the Imam al-Islam said to him that you were to die in this journey. Some believers have strong belief in the Imam al-Islam, so they believe him quickly. The others probably doubt them. This person wasn't very strong. He didn't say anything to the Imam al-Islam. But he was thinking inside his heart, how does he know I was to die? I didn't die. He said, but because you went to your auntie's house, your father's sister's house, and you were nice to her, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increased that many years in your life. He said, but Mawla, I did not tell any person that I went to visit my auntie. He said, what did you think? You need to tell me before I tell you? The person who represents Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Imam, he knows these things. So the Imam said that because you visited your auntie, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increased in your life. Sila Rahimi causes your life to be increased. Look at Sayyidu Shuhada, he's going for martyrdom. And yet, he goes around all of the Medina, visiting all of his relatives. Visits his grandmother, Hazrat Umm Salama, his mothers, Hazrat Umm al-Banin especially. His brothers and sisters were not coming with him, his brother-in-laws, every person he meets them. He invites them and says goodbye to them, makes his will to them. There are so many traditions on it. Imam Hussain alayhi salam went out of his way to meet all of his relatives, even though he knows that this is his last journey and he should hasten towards Karbala. And yet, he says, I should meet all of my relatives. Hussain ibn Ali alayhi salatu wasalam is giving a lesson here. The Holy Prophet, they say that each time he used to travel, before he traveled, he would say goodbye to his companions first, and lastly, finally he would come to his daughter, Hazrat Fatima salamu alayha. And then he would say goodbye to her. And when he came back, the first person he would meet would be Hazrat Fatima salamu alayha. When the people asked, why do you do this? He said, because I want to have the least amount of separation between me and my daughter. This is obviously showing love for Hazrat Fatima because she was great and also Sila Rahimi. The infallibles have said that a person who has some dues on him, like Khums or Zakat, Fitra, all of these things, if they have a relative in the family who deserves it, then it is upon them to give this due to their relative first. And if they give it outside, Allah will not accept it. They will not be rewarded for it. And if they give it to a family member, then they will get twice the sawab, because one was of fulfilling the obligation and second one for the sila rahmi. Look at the difference. just because they were nice to their relatives. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards you. Something that causes you to be loved and liked amongst your relatives, and Allah wants you to reward for it. You see, me and you look for excuses to punish each other. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks for excuses to forgive us. Because He is Ghafur Rahim, He is Rahman. He is merciful. He looks for excuses and He says, do a nice thing and I'll reward you for it. Perform this action and I'll reward you for it. All of these things, they make us closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes, we try and save everything up to the end of our life. And when we are on our deathbed, we try and make a will. Okay, now that I'm dying, distribute my wealth amongst my relatives, so and so needed it. Distribute it amongst the fuqara. Give something to the masjid, to the imam bargah. And so and so and this and that. You know, we make our wills on our deathbed. Now that you don't need it, you're giving it away. Sila Rahmi is that sometimes when you give out something that you need yourself, and something that you desire, something that you like, something that you need, not something that is useless. My Abba is no use to me anymore. Let me give it in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. You do not get the thawab of performing a good action unless you give away something in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you desire yourself, that you like yourself, مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ, that you love. In Amali of Shaykh Tusi, there is a tradition from the Holy Prophet, Hazrat Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That a companion of the Holy Prophet died when the Holy Prophet was out of the town. He had a big godam of dates. A big, not a shop, a massive place where he used to store dates. When the person was dying, he made a will that I want all of these dates to be distributed by the hands of the Holy Prophet. Because he is Rahmatul Lil Alameen. Not a common person. The greatest creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The highest authority in Islam after the Almighty. I want him to distribute all of these things amongst the people of, amongst the fuqara of Medina. The Holy Prophet comes back and the people say, Ya Rasulullah, so-and-so companion died and he made this will. He said, call the fuqara of Medina, I will myself distribute the dates. He puts a chair, sits down in front of the store, and starts distributing the dates. He says, bring them and I'll distribute them. So they were bringing big boxes and the Holy Prophet would pick up and give them. Until they said, Ya Rasulullah, everything is finished. He said, check again. They said, Ya Rasulullah, everything finished. So the Holy Prophet got up himself to check if everything had finished. And he found a single date on the floor. Just one date. Picks it up, comes out and says, Ayyuhan Nas, O people, if that person, that companion of mine, had given this one date within his lifetime with his own hands, would have been better than distributing the whole store with the hands of Muhammad. You see the difference? Because now he himself doesn't need it. So he says, tell the Holy Prophet, distribute them. When you needed them, that's when you should distribute them. There are levels of iman. Your relatives sometimes are desirous of just a salam from you. Many times we are so stubborn that I feel like going to my brother, I feel like going to my sister, but I feel so proud inside that my brother should come and see me. My sister should come to me. Why should I go to them? The Holy Prophet says that when two people become away from each other, the person who makes them closer again is the person who makes the house in Jannah. And the person who makes a few people fight with each other, especially husband and wife, a person who makes a husband and wife fight with each other, it seems like fire on earth to the angels who live in the skies. That's what you have done. It's not an action. The effect of it is fire before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That fire which is being prepared for you in the hereafter. Sila Rahmi is to bring people closer to each other. That is the biggest lesson of Sayyidul Shuhada. Going around meeting all of his relatives, his grandmother, sisters. And look at Janabe Zainab Kubra salamullahi alayha. Inshallah, probably tomorrow or the day after, I'll mention the masaib of Hazrat Zainab. As it is, Ashra Zainabiya, so we should at least remember her sermons and her masaib. She is Ummul Masaib. But look at her. When Ali ibn Abi Talib marries her to his nephew, she makes it a condition that her husband must allow her every day to meet her brother, just to see him. Fine, he's an imam. But these are lessons for us. In olden times, you would find that the Muslims would not leave an area because their relatives lived in that area. Even though they did not see them every day. But whenever they wanted to see them, they would say, yes, they're close by, I can go and just knock the door and say, just I want to see you. Imam Ali alayhi salam says that, Allahumma salli ala. That if you want to make shaitan rub his nose on the ground, then there are a few things you must do. Inshallah, we all want to do that, yes? We don't want to please shaitan, we want to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Imam says that if you want to displease shaitan and make him rub his nose on the ground, then never make your salat qada and always be close to your arham, your relatives. And whenever you see your woman brother, always shake hands. Because as soon as you touch him, shaitan starts beating his head. Oh Allah, I wanted
them to be apart from each other. And now they're shaking hands. Always shake hands. There are books, Imam Khomeini says in one of his books that if you are angry with a person, then just go and touch him. The hadith says that just by touching him, if you're going to shake hands, you will become cooler inside. You'll cool down because you've touched him. Some things happen. Today even the science is going into the depths of these things, that our actions have deeper effects on us. You know, like wudu, what makes me not come before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before ablution? It's same Ali Raza, but I cannot go and pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until I perform wudu, just washing my face. I do that all the time, wash my arms. But when I say qurbatan ilallah, I wash my face and my two arms, do the masa of my head and feet, and I'm ready to come before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are many, many researches that should be performed to find out what effects do these things have on our body and our soul. Anyhow, all of these things, they say that when they cause you to have a longer life, the diseases are removed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saves you from making mistakes, from eating haram, from eating all of these things. Some ulama believe that these are interacting things. Meaning, when you don't eat haram, you don't do a sin. And when you don't, do haram, then you don't eat haram food. They are interacting with each other. One stops the other from happening. Sila Rahim is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, He stops His mercies from being given to you. You know in Dua Kumail, you read in Dua Kumail last night, we all inshallah read Dua Kumail. Allahumma ghfir li adh-dhunub allati tahbisu ad-du'a. You know in the Dua itself, Dua Kumail, you come across many sentences by Imam Ali alayhi salam. He says, Oh Allah, forgive me the sins that stop the dua from being accepted. Oh Allah, forgive me the sins that cause the tribulations from being given to us from the skies. Bala. Tunzilul bala. Oh Allah, forgive me the sins that cause me to have a shorter life. All of these things. When you read Thawabul Amal and Iqabul Amal of Shaykh Saduq, the Imams have given traditions what are these sins that cause us to have shorter life. What are the sins that cause us to have less mercies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They say it is avoiding sila rahim. When you do qati rahim, it causes you to have a shorter life and the blessings of Allah are taken away from you. Your rizq becomes tight. There are many things that cause your rizq to be tight, but one of them is qati rahim. Man a'rada an dhikri fa innahu ma'ishatan dhanqa, the Quran says. Whoever goes away from my remembrance, I cause him to have less of ma'isha, which is rizq, earnings, many things. Leaving the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also sila rahim. Should I translate to Urdu? Say salawat, everyone. Shukriya.